Hey everybody, it's Melissa here, and welcome to our podcast, The Tapestry of Your Life. I'm going to be talking today about the topic of love, right? Isn't it such a lovely topic? Okay, so I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13 the past few days, and I'm going to continue reading it, and I basically turned it into a confession to speak about myself because I want a revelation, an encounter with God's love, but also to realize how much I am loved, you know? Because I also, okay, so just to start, there's two basic commandments now in the New Testament, right? And one of them is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So we love God first. The second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So in order for us to love our neighbors, we need to love ourselves. And over the past week, with the women's conference that we just recently had, I realized, like Dr. Fiona had said, that we are perfect. Because if we have the Spirit of God is perfect. So that means we are perfect. We don't have to try to be perfect, but like, we are perfect. And that was very difficult for me to say and for me to realize. And so I know that that's something that I want to improve upon, something that I want to have revelation and breakthrough about, for me to have the realization in my heart, have the revelation that I am perfect and I am completely loved by God and that I can love myself. So that's why I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm just going to read it and read my confession that I speak over myself and point out some powerful things that I have realized as I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the chapter of love. Okay. Or the way of love, or God's perfect love, and a whole bunch of different things. So I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic Version. You can read it from any kind of version that you want to. But it says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, right? And then in parentheses it says love. That reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So I didn't realize how the Amplified described love. That it's reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion. Okay? So that means it makes sense, right? Love is not confusing. Love does not bring confusion. Love is not, like, awkward and anything, you know, remotely close to anything that brings, like, chaos or confusion or, you know, anxiety because you're unsure of things, okay? It's also intentional. Love is intentional. And I want to make sure that we're talking about the God kind of love, okay? Because there's different types of love, especially in America, in American society. We'll say, oh, I love cake, or I love, you know, sports, or I love, you know, watching this or doing this. And then we'll say, oh, like, I love my parents, but I also love my spouse. Like, it's different types of love, even though it's all the same words. So we're talking about the perfect God kind of love, okay? So it's reasoning, it's intentional, okay? It takes effort, it takes time, it takes talking, it takes speaking, it takes praying, it takes worship, it takes spiritual devotion. Like, devotion is something that happens continually. It doesn't matter the circumstance or the environment. Like, if you're devoted to someone or to something, there's going to be ups and downs typically, but that doesn't change your mindset, okay? So this kind of love, the God kind of love, is strong through every environment because it's a dedication, right? We are devoted and it's intentional, right? So it's something you consciously have to think about. I think sometimes, you know, we might think, oh, everything just comes so easy. Like, we just automatically know how to love. Actually, it is something that is taught. I mean, we teach little kids, right, how to share, how to get dressed, how to behave, right, how to speak respectfully, how to share, all of those sorts of things. Like, there's a lot of skills that are taught. We teach them how to show love because some people, especially in, like, inner cities, I've seen it a lot, and in public schools sometimes, like, people's view of love is twisted. They can think that if they're being harmed, you know, just because they're getting attention, that that's love, or because, like, it makes them feel good, that that's love. And all of those things, like, that's not love, okay? That's not what comprises love, because God is love, okay? Okay, so that is love in a nutshell at the moment, okay? So that's only verse one. If we could speak in tongues of men and even of the angels, but we don't have love, we are only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, okay? So you can speak with such eloquence, and you can know all of the languages in the world, and you can even speak in tongues, right? And you can have Holy Spirit, but if you don't have love, if you don't have the love of God inside of you, where you love God first and you love others as you love yourself, all of the things that we're saying and talking is just like a clanging cymbal, right? It hurts people's ears, like noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. Like, if it's not done properly and at the right timing, like, it's, you can tell that, it annoys people. It hurts their ears. They don't want to listen to it, okay? It's not making, like, a beautiful sound. So, verse 2, it says, "And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, which is God's love in us, okay, I am nothing, a useless nobody." Now, that's a pretty strong statement, right? I love how the Bible, it doesn't mess around. Like, it's going to tell you exactly what it thinks and exactly what it means, okay? Like, that's pretty clear. So, you can have all knowledge, right? All the secret truths, all the mysteries, all knowledge, right? And you can also have, like, great faith, right? Faith that moves mountains and removes boundaries for people, and you can have things happening in your life because you have great faith. But if we don't have love, then we're not being useful, right? Okay, verse 3. "Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory," right, which is talking about being a martyr, "but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing." So then it's talking about how, okay, so even if you have all the knowledge that's in your mind, and even if you can speak well, which means you can communicate with others, but even if you can't do any of those things, it's talking about if you're a giver, right? If you give everything that you have to the poor, and you even give up your very body to be burned as like a self-sacrifice, you know? Like, you know, you might see in movies the soldiers who throw themselves on top of a bomb or grenade to save others, okay? If they're talking about being like a martyr, right? But if we don't do that out of love, if we don't do it with God's love, then we don't actually gain anything. It was all for nothing. So then it talks about verse 4, okay? This is the part that most people recognize, okay? So love. And I'm going to replace it with my name, with I, okay? So I endure long and impatient and in kind. I am never envious nor boil over with jealousy. I am not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I am not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. I am not rude or unmannerly, and I do not act unbecomingly. I do not insist on my own rights or my own way, for I am not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Okay, so that's just verse 4 and verse 5. And those are a lot of the qualities of love so far. Okay, but I'm going to pause there to talk about them. Right? We are patient and we are kind and we're not envious of others. We don't boil over with jealousy. We don't get upset. It is, love is coming out of us, right? It is not selfish by any means. So a lot of these qualities make it all about you. Right? Being conceited, having pride, you make it all about yourself. If you're jealous, it's because you want something that you don't have, right? And somebody else has it. If you're being haughty, again, it's centered on you. If it's boastful, it's like, oh, look at what I did, right? All of those qualities, it focuses on itself. And love is not like that because God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son, okay? I heard one preacher say, I think it was Pastor Doug, actually, who said, it's not like he gave, like, one of his many children. It was his only son. It was everything that he had, every part of his inheritance, his legacy that would happen through his son. Like, he sent his son to die on the cross for us, for me and for you. And so, if you are not saved, right, if you have never confessed that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior and that he died on a cross for you, that he did it so that way all of your sins, all of the wrong things that we've done could be forgiven, If you have never said that you believe in that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is coming back again, I encourage you, you can say that right now. And you can be filled with Holy Spirit right now. And that's all you got to say is that I believe, right? That you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he's done for you, and that you accept him into your heart. And just like that, you are saved. And I guarantee you're going to feel the power of God come into your heart and come into your life, and it will never be the same again. And you won't want to be conceited or give yourself or be rude or unmannerly, because you're going to be thinking of others first, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus thought about all of us when he was on the cross. He didn't think about himself at all. So verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I am ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and I endure everything without weakening. Okay? So we speak out like love is joyful, right? We rejoice. I rejoice when the truth and righteousness prevail. Okay, so I don't get happy when bad things happen to other people, even if you might think like they deserve it or something like that. That's not love, right? We want to rejoice about when righteousness and truth prevail. Okay, and we believe the best of every person. I choose to believe the best of every person. Okay, I never give up hope. Right? Endures everything. You know, at the end of this chapter, it talks about faith, hope, and love, okay? And how love is the greatest of them all. And I realize it's because you can have faith and you can have hope, but love is something you are, right? So it's like part of who you are. It's a character quality. It's not a thing. It's not something to have. And eventually it ends, right? Like you can have faith for something and you can have hope for something. And when you acquire that thing, then you don't need faith and hope for that thing anymore. I mean, you can then put your faith and hope towards something new, but at some point when we get to heaven, we're not going to need that anymore, because we're going to have all of everything that we need, right? So faith and hope, eventually at some point they end, but you know what? Love never fails. Love never ends, because God is love. Okay. And then that's what verse 8 talks about. It says love never fails. So I never fail. I never fade out or become obsolete or come to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, I will be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, right? It's incomplete and imperfect, and prophecy is fragmentary. But when complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish, right? It will become antiquated. It'll be old, void, unnecessary. It has been overtaken by something else. So I want to point out that love never fails, which means you never fail, right? Even when we make mistakes, it's not a failure, okay? It's in, I'm going to have to find it. I know it's in the Passion Translation. I think it's in Romans 8. I'm going to find it real quick, because I definitely really want to share this. I think it's at the end. I'm going to keep talking as I look for it. But love never fails, right? And that's important to know. We don't have to fail ever. Isn't that the triumph of God's love? I'll find it. I'm pretty sure it's in Romans 8 somewhere. Okay. So, goes on to say, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, reasoned like a child, but now that I've become a man, or in my case, a woman, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For we are, and keep going down. So, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and so, faith, hope, love, abide, faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And part of that is because it also says that love is true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. Well, God's love is never going to fade. And so our love in return, our true affection for God, will never have to fade. Because even when we get to heaven, we will continue to have affection for God, right? True affection for God, and return the love that he has so graciously given to us, okay? So I want to encourage you to receive the love of God today. Receive it in your heart. Know how much you are loved and how much you can share the love of God with others. Once we get filled up, it is easy to just overflow and let the love of God just, as he pours into you, right, we overflow and it pours over onto others, okay? So I speak blessing over you. I speak multiplication over you. I speak the love of God, that you would have fresh revelation of the love of God, and that you would have an encounter with the Lord God himself and the heart of the Father. Thank you all for listening.